heard you. I was afraid of that. Stricken picked up a pitcher of water. You look thirsty. Want a drink? I nodded. My mouth was very dry. Who else knows about this? I bit my tongue until I could taste blood. There was something sinister about the way Stricken leaned over me, like he was an undertaker and I was in a coffin. It made me giggle. Don't be like that, Mr. Pitt. What else do you know? Your real plan? Stricken filled a plastic cup with water from the pitcher. Oh, really? And what would that be? The last dragon and all those folks dying wasn't the important part. They were just targets of opportunity when you figured out how tough the Noctmar was. You wanted to expose hunters to it. You knew it would think we were tasty. But even if you got your permission to do your project, you'd still have to deal with Franks, and he'd just kill you, because he just don't care. Even if you aren't scared of him, your collaborators are. This whole thing was to push Franks over the edge. That caused him to pause. Interesting. Go on. Sure, the deaths would help your agenda, especially since it was a bunch of professional hunters. That ought to scare 'em. But you knew you'd get that permission anyway, eventually. But then Franks would stop you. You need him gone. But he's too important to just pop. You set this up. You made it impossible for him to do his job without breaking the rules. You knew what he'd do. Franks can't not do his job. But now that he's in trouble, you've got an excuse to get rid of him. Stricken was nodding along. That dragon was way more tuned in than I expected. Nah. I waved my good hand dismissively. I figured that out myself. Remarkable. Stricken agreed. He put the water cup on the table next to me. You MHI types are just full of surprises. What else do you know? You plan on killing me? Well, that goes without saying. Anything else? You're not gonna kill me. This was amusing him. Wanna bet? You can't kill me, because I'm the only one that can stop the real bad guy. He's coming. I sang that last part for some odd reason. It made sense at the time. You know he's real. You've seen his signs all over the place. Want to know a secret? I lifted my head and tried to lean in conspiratorially. I couldn't even whisper right. I'm the chosen one. Stricken stepped away from the hospital bed, stroking his pointy chin thoughtfully. I see. Like that messed with his schemes. Yep, I'm the champion of everything. You kill me, you're on your own. I don't know what your fancy secret nemesis thing is, but it won't work. You're gonna need us. You're gonna need me. Like, my family's been prepping for this for, like, forever. Prophecies and stuff. Generations of this kind of thing. People coming back from the dead. The works. My words were really slurred. The stuff in the IV was potent. He's scared of me. Stricken didn't seem convinced. You really believe that, don't you? Yep. It's my destiny. Hunters never cease to amuse me. I'm not too worried about this new threat. I know all about him. With Nemesis assets in place, we'll be able to handle anything the other side throws at us. No more being puppets on a string for a bunch of cosmic superpowers and their endless bickering. I'm changing the rules of this game once and for all. Stricken turned and walked to the door, then paused, deep in thought. But, tell you what, Pitt, just in case you're not completely delusional, I wouldn't drink that water if I was you. I looked over at the cup, then back at Stricken, but he was already gone. I hadn't even seen the door move. I reached over, picked up the cup of water, poured it back in the pitcher, dumped the whole poisonous thing into a potted plant next to the bed, and went back to sleep. Oh, my head. This time I woke up to a much more welcome sight next to my bed. Hey, hon. Julie startled awake. She'd been sleeping in the chair next to the bed.
You're up.
I was glad to see the relief on her face.
Thank goodness. You've been out forever. How are you feeling?
Sore and drugged.
You took a beating. 2 broken bones in your foot, a compound fracture in your arm, and a whole bunch of other stuff. Sore is understandable.
Is Stricken still here? I asked suspiciously.
No. He was never here. Nobody's seen him since he left the city during the dragon attack. There are several 100 hunters in town who'd love to make him have an accident.
He was just here. I looked over at the potted plant, suspicious that it would be turning brown already, but it was fine. I think he was. The concept of linear time was still a little fuzzy. Julie reached over and stroked my cheek.
I've been here almost the whole time, and when I wasn't, somebody else was. Tripp and Holly had been practically camped in the hall. We didn't see anybody.
Weird. Had I imagined that conversation? I felt okay. The memories started coming back. You came back in the chopper. Julie nodded.
What's a girl supposed to do? And by the way, that 20mm is great. It's so big I had to use all the bungees to hold it up, stick the barrel out one door, then hang myself out the opposite side to aim it.
But the Nachmar, it had wanted to possess a new host. The baby!
Don't worry.
Julie patted her abdomen.
Tanya promised she could ward it off with elf magic if it came around. Skippy almost had an aneurysm when he found out she was drawing runes on his helicopter, but I talked him down because they were only in Sharpie. Tanya said she could handle anything disembodied.
And you trusted her? I raised my voice. Julie raised an eyebrow. She won the argument.
And if I hadn't come back,
I'd be getting dissolved inside a dragon right now, I admitted. Sorry. It's one thing to worry about one of you. I don't know if I can handle 2.
Better get used to it. I took a test an hour ago. Earl's nose was right. I guess this is official.
What if there were 1,000 questions?
We'll deal with whatever happens, like we always do.
And that pretty much summed it up. We'd be okay. You'll be a good mom.
And you'll be a great dad.
We sat in silence for a long time. It was weird to have time to think again. I didn't want to ask, but had to. Who'd we lose?
We're still trying to figure that out, but he hurt us.
Lococo and Van Zandt?
Julie shook her head. M.I.A.
I closed my eyes and tried to sink back into the bed. They were dead because of me. I had to make the call, I whispered.
You were right, though. The Noctmar concentrated on us. The demons attacking the conference center lost focus, and when the Noctmar followed us through the clouds, it broke the spell. If he hadn't followed us, who knows what would have happened? If we hadn't made it off that roof, the last dragon might still be on the other side.
Being right didn't make it any easier. But Coco had a little girl. I had to make the call. She patted my hand as she began to cry. I know. Epilogue. Marsh stopped the rental car at the end of the driveway. He took way too long to shut the engine off. It was like he was debating putting it back in drive and making a run for it. I couldn't blame him. Ready? I asked. He glanced over at me. He'd gotten out of Vegas in better shape than I had, physically, but his face was still bruised, swollen, and scratched from his fight with the nightmare cultists. Basically, the Pitt brothers looked like crap. We could just pretend this whole thing never happened. Like that ever works out. Marsh sighed and shut the car off. Let's do this and get it over with. It took me a minute to get my crutch out of the back seat. Even with Gretchen's additional attentions, she said the human doctors were right, and I was going to be on that crutch for a while longer. My brother met me on the other side of the car, and the two of us stared up at the house with dread. There was still a discolored spot on the driveway from where a conditioned cultist had bled all over it. This part was much harder than squaring off against a nightmare monster. "You hear anything new?" Marsh asked, obviously stalling for time. I shook my head in the negative. The news was still the same. The MCB had finally picked one of its conflicting stories and run with it. Las Vegas had been the site of an awful terrorist attack, first with weaponized Ebola, then with chemical weapons that may have caused crazy hallucinations, and finally with high explosives that had caused considerable damage down the strip. Last I'd heard, they were still attempting to bring those horrible miscreants to justice. Good. I hear they're real jerks. Like Julie had told me in the hospital, MHI had gotten hurt. Of our 33 members that had attended the first and final ICMHP, 6 had died, 2 were missing, and 10 had been injured, with 3 of those being severe enough that they would probably end up retiring. We'd had another 2 hunters that didn't get a scratch on them that had quit as a result of being exposed to their worst fears in the nightmare realm. None of the other companies had come out unscathed either. Everybody had lost someone. Earl had to say his goodbyes to Heather again. She still had 1 year of service left before she gained her puff exemption. It had been a bittersweet and too short reunion for those two. At least we had managed to protect the vast majority of the innocents who had been trapped inside the last dragon with us. As expected, they had all been threatened and silenced by the MCB. Some would make the transition to accepting the real world. Others would end up in Appleton. A handful of them would end up like us. ICMHP had left everyone with scars. On the bright side, we had made some valuable new allies. The agreement that Earl had put together to share information and resources on the first day of the conference had managed to stick. We now had a strategic partnership with most of the other companies. Nate Shackelford and a small MHI crew had sealed the deal by risking their lives to hold the final wave of demons until every single other hunter could fall back past them. That had gotten us a lot of respect.
The kid had gained a reputation as a hero, maybe even enough of one to overcome the shame his father had brought on the family name years before. It felt good to have allies. Sure, we'd compete against each other when it came to regular business, but when the time came that this new enemy showed his face, those differences would be set aside, and the world's hunters would collect their pound of flesh. I'd been surprised that so many of our new friends had stopped by to see me in the hospital. News travels fast among hunters, and within a few hours of me catching a tranquilizer dart in the neck, pretty much everyone knew roughly what had gone down in order to defeat the Noctmar. Just when I felt the worst, I had an army of strangers thanking me for saving their lives. As Earl Harbinger would say, they were all right. Sadly, White Eagle had gone home already, so I didn't ever get to ask that loud guy if he was related to Mordecai or not. Grim Berlin had taken the puff money they'd received from Stricken and divided it out evenly to be given to the families of the hunters that had died at the last dragon. Klaus Lindemann was a class act. The only other bit of happy news that had come out of our Las Vegas trip was that our bomb expert, Cooper, had gotten hitched. One of the party girls that had crashed Grim Berlin's celebration had wound up following him around learning how to build improvised explosives during the siege. I guess that had led to love at first blast. Once they'd gotten back to Earth, having decided that life was short, they had immediately gotten married at a 24-hour wedding chapel by an Elvis impersonator. Tanya had approved. As for that particular odd couple, I never found out what it was that Edward the Orc had given me to give to Tanya in case he died. He had taken it back and hadn't said another word about it. I wasn't going to push the guy that had single-handedly sword-fought a dragon about it, either. "Crap," Mosh said, drawing me back to the present. "I can't do this. What are you worried about? I'm the one that has to kill him." "We'll see about that. Once he tells us who sent him back, I'll—" "What?" I asked, genuinely curious. "I don't know. Something. But they're not taking Dad if I can help it." "That's the spirit." I reached over and rubbed his bald head. "For luck." Mosh swallowed hard and followed me up the steps. I screwed up my courage and rang the doorbell. We were about to face the hardest man in the world. A minute later, there was much rattling as many sets of locks were undone. The door opened, and Dad was standing there. It was hard to read his expression, but he knew right away why I'd come.
"I've been expecting you. I knew you'd do the right thing."
If he was a little surprised to see me, he was really surprised to see Mosh.
"David, what are you doing here?"
"Being responsible, I guess." Dad hadn't expected him at all, and I think it might have shook him a little.
"Come in, come in. Your mother's not home."
He led us inside.
"But I'm guessing this surprise visit shouldn't involve her anyway."
"How is she?"
"She's had years to get used to it. You're the ones that have had to learn all this on such short notice. And for that, I'm sorry."
We all sat at the kitchen table.
"Judging by the shape you two are in, Las Vegas, was that your work?"
"Afraid so," I answered.
Dad looked at Mosh.
"You too?"
Mosh nodded quickly.
"A little."
"He saved a lot of lives," I said. "We wouldn't have made it without him."
"I'm proud of you, son."
Ahangamiya Pitt said to my brother,
for probably the first and only time in his life.
I'm proud of you for that. And I'm proud of you for having the guts to come here today.
Marsh had to look away, blinking rapidly. My father turned back to study me for a long time.
Something's changed since I saw you last, Owen.
We lost people, I said simply.
No, that's not it. You've lost people before.
He shook his head.
But this time was different. Either you sent them, or something you did made it happen. I can see it in your eyes.
My voice cracked.
How can you know?
Because, son, I see that exact same thing I see on your face right now every single time I look in the mirror. It's a heavy burden, and it don't ever go away. You do what you have to do. Leadership is a hell of a thing.
I rub my face.
I can't. They won't be the last,
he promised.
That's war, and yours is just beginning.
I know it is, I answered. But we've got a lot bigger army than I thought. There's legions of us.
The men of the Pitt family sat at that table for a while, mulling that over. Dad waited patiently to begin. He'd already waited most of his life for this moment. It was time to fulfill his destiny. It was time for me to start mine.
Dad, it's time we talk.
This has been an Audible Frontiers production of Monster Hunter Legion, written by Larry Correa. Narrated by Oliver Wyman. Producer, Mike Charsick. Music by Michael Whalen. Copyright 2012 by Larry Correa. Production copyright 2012 by Audible, Inc.